This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
As the year of St. Joseph draws to a close on the 8th of September, Pope Francis began a new cycle of catechesis on St. Joseph this week. And he called St. Joseph a man for our times because he said that St. Joseph can offer all of us support, can offer consolation, and can offer guidance. And in fact, he said that his prayer is that we, each of us, further allows ourselves to be enlightened by St. Joseph's example in our lives. He also looked at the Old Testament. He looked at, for example, the meaning of the name of Joseph, which is Hebrew for may God increase, may God give growth. And Pope Francis said that it's a blessing based on trust in God's providence and referring especially to fertility and raising children. So referring to the meaning of St. Joseph's name, he said that this also reveals an essential aspect of Joseph of Nazareth's personality because he's a man full of faith in God and faith in God's providence. Then he also went on to talk about St. Joseph's connection to the towns of Bethlehem and to Nazareth. And he pointed out that these are, of course, very small places in what he called the periphery. And he said that Bethlehem, the name itself, means house of bread, or in Arabic, it means house of meat. And so pointed out the significance in connection to the incarnation and the Eucharist. And so he went on from there to talk about how Bethlehem is so key because it recalls the story of Ruth, who was the great-grandmother of David the king, and it was from David that, of course, Joseph traces his roots, and, of course, fulfilling the prophecy of Micah, who foretold the coming of the Messiah from Bethlehem. So he looked at St. Joseph as a man from the periphery, reminding all that we should focus on things that are not necessarily as easily perceptible. In other words, things of the spirit. He said, look around for the sick, the hungry, the poor, and the least. And this is something to do in the example, in the witness of St. Joseph. And then, John, he went on to say that St. Joseph is truly a master of what he called the essential, because he reminds all of what matters most, and what matters most doesn't necessarily attract attention, but it requires a patient discernment. It's something that has to be discovered, to be mulled over, to be appreciated. So he asked all the faithful to pray for St. Joseph's intercession, and specifically for the church, that the church may recover that insight of patient discernment. So he asked everyone to go back to Bethlehem and Nazareth in their minds of prayer. And so with that, he also announced that the church in Italy will mark its first day of prayer for victims and for survivors of abuse. And he prayed that this day may help increase awareness and healing and support for survivors and also for families and parishes and schools, remembering that all have the duty to protect and respect minors who are entrusted to their care. And John, today the catechesis on St. Joseph concluded with a prayer. And I will share it with you, with our audience, and just invite everyone to pray along with me. It goes like this. Dear St. Joseph, you who always trusted God and made your choices guided by his providence, teach us not to count so much on our own plans, but on his plan of love. You who come from the peripheries, help us to convert our gaze and to prefer what the world discards and marginalizes. Comfort those who feel alone and support those who work silently to defend life and human dignity. Amen.
Amen. What a beautiful prayer to St. Joseph. And, you know, we're really grateful to the Holy Father for calling for this year of St. Joseph. I think a lot of folks have gotten closer, have grown closer to St. Joseph during this past year. I'm always remembered of that beautiful image of St. Joseph sleeping, the statue of St. Joseph sleeping that Pope Francis himself has talked about and joked about in the past, that whenever he has a worry, he writes it on a little piece of paper and sticks it underneath the statue of the sleeping Saint Joseph so he can pray about it while he's sleeping.
Well, John, I know that I certainly have gotten closer to Saint Joseph during this holy year. And in fact, I've used the Saint Joseph prayer book that Relevant Radio put out, and I pray my daily prayers and have just loved the opportunity to meditate on the different phases of life of St. Joseph, to really think about the hardships that he endured with such courage, and of course to use that as example in my own life. So I just so appreciate the opportunity to become closer and closer to him. As we heard about today, truly a man of our times, a man of such great virtue. And one of my prayers is for all men to become real Saint Joseph.
Go to Joseph. And thanks for sharing that beautiful prayer of the Holy Father to St. Joseph with us. Another Joseph, the former Joseph Ratzinger, Pope Benedict Emeritus, met with winners of the Ratzinger Prize last weekend. Can you tell us about this prize?
Yes, absolutely. You know, John, of course, we're not hearing much about Pope Benedict Emeritus these days, and that is because he is living a quiet life of meditation and prayer. He lived in the Vatican Gardens in the convent of Mater Ecclesiae. His personal secretary is there, as well as some sisters who take care of the home and his food. So it's nice to get a little glimpse into the life of Pope Emeritus. And the Ratzinger Prize that you mentioned, John, it goes back to the year 2011, and it was established specifically to recognize scholars whose work demonstrates a meaningful contribution to theology, but always in the spirit of Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger and his writings. So, indeed, he met with four recipients of the Ratzinger Prize at his home at the Mater Ecclesiae Monastery just a few days ago. They had an hour-long meeting. The academics each discussed their work with the Pope Emeritus, and they also prayed a bit together. So each of these, there were actually two winners per year, but this year there were four winners who were present, and that's because the prize in 2020 was not able to be given for COVID restrictions, and so all four from 2020 and 2021 were able to be there and have this beautiful discussion with Pope Benedict Emeritus. And, you know, it's interesting. Of course, he lived a very quiet life of prayer. He's also said to continue to enjoy playing his classical piano. Of course, he is a very accomplished pianist. And he still takes walks in the garden. He loves especially to take prayer walks through the gardens. And John, my husband John and I, each as former Vatican employees, have access to those Vatican gardens. And every time I pass, I pray for Pope Benedict Emeritus and also wish that we would happen to be out at the same time that he's having a little prayer walk, but it just has never quite happened. Although we did have the opportunity to meet him many years ago on our first anniversary of marriage, and he blessed our marriage. But so sure enough, nice to get a little glimpse into what Pope Benedict Emeritus is doing these days, John.
What a tremendous blessing to be able to have your marriage blessed by Pope Benedict, now Pope Benedict Emeritus. Ashley, I have a beautiful photograph in my office of my wife and I during our honeymoon when we got the papal blessing from Pope Benedict, just shortly after he became the Holy Father, and he's smiling from ear to ear to my wife, and she's smiling back at him. It's a great photo.
How sweet. What an incredible blessing. I certainly remember being just touched and overwhelmed, knowing I was in the presence of such holiness. And so we continue to appreciate his writings so much. And of course, those will be unpacked for the next 100 years or so, because they are so deep and beautiful and dense. We really have he's been such a gift to the church in every way.
No question about it. He really was a theologian par excellence. In fact, I ran into a priest just the other day who was telling me that, you know, people talk about being a JP2 priest. Well, he thinks that Pope Benedict was a huge influence on his priesthood just by his holiness and his insistence on reverence during the Holy Mass. So, you know, Pope Benedict has touched many, many lives, and we continue to keep him in our prayers. Ashley, let's talk about the latest with the Vatican finance trial. What is going on? I know that Cardinal Benchu is still claiming innocence of any charges in that case.
Yes. So, John, of course, we've been following this case very closely, and Cardinal Benchu, who you mentioned, is one of the 10 defendants. And this is, of course, the Vatican's largest financial trial in recent history, and it all centers around the Secretary of State's purchase of an investment property in London, a luxury property, and the trial itself started at the end of July, but it's continuing here in November. Now, just a few days ago, Cardinal Benchu spoke at a diocesan charity event for Caritas. And this was one of the organizations that he is alleged to have illicitly given Vatican funds. And he said that during this talk that, of course, I favored my diocese, but he can't quite figure out why this would be considered to be scandalous. And so during this conference, he said he was very proud and very appreciative and happy to have specifically favored Caritas and his diocese. And what is actually being discussed in the trial right now is his particular connection in the way that he gave funds to an organization that is owned by his brother and is connected to Caritas. So he says his brother was a part of this organization called CRIS, and it said that he gave various loans that did not have to be repaid to the SPES Corporation, and also he was then indicted, of course, on charges of embezzlement and abuse of his office. Some of the money came specifically from Peter's Pence, which is that fund that, of course, is the charitable fund meant to go to the poor from the Vatican. So this is all part of the trial. Very interesting that Cardinal Benchu, as you said, continues to maintain his innocence. He says that the media is actually slandering him, and that this he was simply favoring his diocese, and there's nothing wrong with that. So that's the latest from Cardinal Benchu. We will keep our eye on this very interesting trial, John.
Absolutely, and this is has been a lengthy process already. Any idea how long it's going to take?
Right. So there's a lot of speculation about that because the trial keeps being delayed for one reason or the other. Some are suspicious that this actually could be a ploy so that it never actually happens. We will see. We will see what's next. So the latest thing was, of course, when they turned in some audio testimonies, they discovered that there were some pieces of them missing, and so everything got halted again. So it's a very interesting, as they say, trial of the century at the Vatican.
Ashley, shifting gears, the weather is in the news once again in Italy. I understand there's parts of Sicily that are in a state of emergency with flooding. How serious is this situation in Sicily?
Well, especially around the area of Agrigento, unfortunately, they have just been hammered by heavy rains. There's widespread flooding. There have been landslides as well. So this mostly centers around the southwest coast of Sicily, of course, that island there off the south of Italy. And so the local mayor has said, please don't get in your car. Don't leave your home. It is just too dangerous right now. There are rescue operations. Evacuations have been carried out. And part of a retaining wall, part of a road collapsed. And it actually resulted in several cars just being swallowed up in a sinkhole. And so they are saying that from Agrigento that they are on their knees. They say the town has been destroyed. They do not have an accurate assessment of the damage yet, but they have asked for prayers from around the world, John.
Absolutely. We will keep all of Sicily in our prayers. Ashley, last week we talked about gelato. This week, tiramisu. I understand the king and queen of tiramisu has unfortunately passed away.
Yes, yes. You know, it was really quite a story, John. So the couple who is credited as the inventors of tiramisu, their names are Alba Di Pilo and Aldo Campiel. And they marketed that very popular dessert at their restaurant, Alle Becchiere, which is in the northern Italian city of Treviso. And so sadly, they have passed actually within days of each other. Now, it's been said, too, about them passing away so close together that, of course, they worked together every day in their restaurant, and it was no surprise to many locals that they should follow each other so quickly in death, too. Now, a little bit of background about, of course, that famous dessert, tiramisu. Now, John, if I translate that name, tiramisu, it means pick me up. And, of course, that's because of the coffee that's an ingredient inside of that dessert, because it's a little bit of a pick-me-up. And it's said to have come about by chance. So it was 1969, and Alba was making a vanilla ice cream for her restaurant, but she accidentally added some mascarpone cheese. And so the cheese went into the egg, into the sugar mixture, and she tasted it and realized something almost magical had happened. It was absolutely fantastic. And she then took a Savoiardi, a ladyfinger biscuit. She soaked it in coffee and tried it with this mixture. And it was fabulous. And that is how tiramisu came to be. They put it on their menu, and the rest is history. Of course, people are traveling far and wide since the early 1970s to try the original tiramisu from Treviso. So now we bid arrivederci to what's called tiramisu's couple, to Alba and Aldo.
Arrivederci to the two of them, and
yes.
Now we know the rest of the story. We got about 30 seconds, Ashley, real quickly. Big celebrations in Rome for tomorrow's feast of the dedication of the Basilicas of St. Peter and Paul.
That's right. Both of these major basilicas will be celebrated tomorrow, and that means people visiting each, there's going to be special masses at each. People will even make walking pilgrimages to go from one to the other to celebrate these two basilicas, the two largest churches in the world, John.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Noronha every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.